and oh so blue. I always thought that you would love me. I don't know what I should do. Do do. A wonderful, beautiful, beautiful Saturday evening to each and every one of you. Thank you so much for joining me here. Oops, I hit the button again. Sorry about that. On another segment of Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio, I am your host, Maria Wall. And tonight's a very special night because we're introducing something new. We're going to start a Healing Through Words segment, probably on a monthly basis, where we'll be introducing artists and their work that deals with survival, recovery, healing through their hurts, whatever it may be, with special emphasis on domestic violence and abuse, of course, because as many of you know, that's how Healing Through Hurt was born, because of my personal experience. But with that said, one thing I'd like to do is to welcome a returning guest and my sister of survival and best friend. Well, some people might get upset behind that, but she's my good friend from Texas, and she wrote a book. This is how we got together, actually. She wrote a book, Shattered Pieces, Loving Heart, by Michelle Sandoval Patois. So she is here with me as my special guest panelist tonight. So we're going to talk about healing through words, specifically poetry, short stories, things like that. But with that said, I'd like to welcome my partner in crime, Michelle, back to Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio.
Hi, Maria. Thanks for having me. It's been a while.
I know, right?
Yes, ma'am. I'm in Oklahoma, by the way.
Are you in Oklahoma?
Yes, ma'am. I used to live in Texas. I was in Texas about 3 years ago, but yeah, I'm in Oklahoma now, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, see? Yeah.
Oh, you know what? This entire time, I'm thinking you're in Texas, wondering how you're handling the drought and all of that. Okay.
Well, you know, I write a lot about my daughters. My kids, two of my kids live in Texas, so that might be where you get that, you know, get that reference from. Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, my good friend from Oklahoma.
Yes. Hi.
Where the winds go sweeping across the plains.
That's right. Okay.
It's good to have you back, and I was glad that you could join me for this special section and segment, because healing through words, I know that you can relate to this because you have written, of course, your first book, Shattered Pieces, Loving Heart, and you're in the process of completing your second book, correct?
That's correct. That is correct. And I haven't even thought of a new name for my second book yet. My second book actually is the successes that I've had since I wrote the first book, personally, and just the different things going on in my life. I have a whole new perspective. When I wrote my first book, that was me as a survivor. You know, I am a survivor. And now I want to touch on not just being a survivor, but going on from there and where my life has taken me since then, and the different ways I can see things now, so.
Exactly. And I'm glad you brought that up, because two things that I think so many people don't understand is this is a process. And
yes,
one thing, you have to make the decision to become a survivor and not a victim. That's
correct.
The first thing.
Yes.
And then after a while, even here, so many people can feel the change, and they know that even I'm evolving, because at some point you move on where you want to be happy again.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to move your life in that direction. But before we get to that point, we have to learn how to express our feelings and let go of all of that.
Yes.
That's held us back, that we've been holding in. And now you can correct me if I'm wrong or add to this, but I found that in writing, first and foremost, you don't want to let anyone deter you from releasing. Because a lot of times when you tell people that you have to let it out, the first thing they try to do is say, oh, what's the family or the friends or the neighbors going to think?
Yeah, and, exactly.
You know, it happened 5 years ago or 2 years ago. You should just let it go. But that's easy for someone to say mm-hmm. when it hasn't happened to them.
That's correct, until they've walked into your shoes. You're absolutely right. What I had to learn to find to do within myself is I was carrying a badge around, is what I call it, and it's been pointed out to me, and I was being identified as the girl that went through this and went through the abuse and was raped and, you know, all the different things that you know about that happened to me. And what I finally had to do is to release that badge. I had to let it go. That is part of who I am, but that is not who I want to be identified with. Does that make any sense at all, you know?
Right.
I had to let that go. And then I also had to learn not to put my emotions in front of everything. You know, when I'm taking some classes. I'm finishing my degree. I'm almost done with my bachelor's degree. And I took a class. It was sexual abuse. It was rape and sexual abuse. And it was very difficult for me in the beginning. I'm like, there's no way I can't do this, just reading into all the things and digging deep again, you know, into my soul. And what I finally had to do is try to look at things analytically and from a whole different perspective in that point. And it helped me tremendously as well. You know, I was able to do that. And once I was able to step back from the emotional part, not forget it, but you know what I mean, kind of do things in a different way in the field I'm getting into, and plus take that badge that I've been wearing my entire life, put it in a, it's in a file cabinet, so to speak. I just took it off, put it in a file cabinet, locked the file cabinet. It's still there, but that isn't my identity. Does that make sense?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And, okay. And you know, this is, before we get into some of the pieces this evening, you know, this is one of the things, just one of the small pieces of the bigger picture. Welcome to our guests in the chat room. Thank you so much for joining us here tonight. And if you have a piece or a story you'd like to share, feel free to either log in so that you can converse with us in the chat room or give us a call at 646-478-4726. Another thing that I wanted to touch on, when we start to release, so to speak, when you're not ready to speak about your hurts and your pains verbally, it's very therapeutic to get some paper and a pen and pencil and start to put those words on that paper. And if you're not ready to share them, put them away in a place that's private to you until you're ready to go back and reread them and see how much of that you're willing to share. Because when you start to share, of course, you have to relive those incidences over and over again. So, but the point of tonight is to release and not allow what people may say about you, because, you know, a lot of times those small minds are talking about you anyway. And
right.
Even if they didn't have something to say, they're gonna find something or make it up to say about you anyway. Those people who have good sense, and, you know, the people with with larger minds that think in a different realm, they see you and they understand what you're trying to say and what you're trying to accomplish. But for you to hold it in to appease some of the same people that were the cause of your pain, that just makes you feel bad, because some people, I honestly believe that they are who they are. They're miserable. They're going to live. They're going to exist and die miserable. And they want people to be miserable with them. And as long as they know that they can control you in that way, that's giving them power that they're not deserving of. So write it down. Get it out of your system. And, you know, I was telling you earlier, I had taken a poetry class this last semester in school, and it was so funny because a lot of my pieces were healing pieces, and by the end of the class, so many of my fellow classmates started to write about personal experiences and things like that. So
that's great. That's great. It's very healing. Very cathartic.
I didn't mean for that to happen, but, you know, sometimes it takes that one spark to wake everybody up, I guess.
Yes.
So it was interesting, and one of my former classmates sent me a piece that she had revised for, you know, the final assessment, and I promised her that I would read it on air. And I'll just go by her pen name, where I knew her in class. I know that she said that she only goes by there for class purposes, so we'll just call her Emma B. And she sent in the piece. The original title of her piece was called Rejection, but the new piece that she sent me, she changed the title to Moving Out. And this piece is really about freedom from an abusive relationship. And this is Moving Out by Emma B. I hear my closet breathing. The garments eject their metal hangers and float shoeless through the window into the freshness of the Sunday morn, creating an unseasonable Macy's parade. They inhale the freedom soaring like a colorful flock of spirits. I feel the walls quaking, ill at ease and unprotected, wishing to join the exodus. The floors undulate with jealousy, causing the furniture to ricochet and form a queue for the chance to rush the stairs. I watch them bounce on their springs as high as the vacant church, humming like the blue, green whirs of wires poking through the bricks. I call after them to stop, not leave me in this empty house trapped until death do I part. I scream, I'll call a moving van. They ignore my voice. They've heard it many times before. I wave a frantic goodbye, knowing they won't return, and I stand here unsure if my life can improve. Maybe I can fly. And this was by Emma B.
Wow.
And it's about freedom from an abusive relationship.
Wow, very good, very good. Yeah, writing,
you know,
is amazing. Yeah.
And
yeah,
she hits it because, you know, the way that she put this metaphor together, the clothes left, but she's still standing there.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, we've spoken about this many times, that especially in abuse cases, so many women go before the judge and change their minds, and they go right back to the abuser.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes they go back one time too many, and the next time they leave the houses in a black bag.
That's correct. Yes.
So the power of writing and sharing this is a wonderful thing.
Yes, it is. Very cathartic.
Tonight, I want our guests and our listeners, welcome to all of our listeners in the call query and, of course, in the chat room. Welcome tonight. Thank you for joining us here on Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. To our guests in the call query, if you'd like to be on air, please press the number 1 on your phone, and that'll let me know that you would like to be on air. But back to Emma B's piece. This is one of these pieces that lets you know that it's about moving forward, putting that one foot in front of the other, not looking back.
That's right. And like you said, it's a process. You know, I mean, even in this last class I was taking, which was, you know, not just the sexual abuse, but the physical abuse, we touched on all of that. And some of the people were commenting in class on the message board, why don't you just leave? Not myself, but, you know, why doesn't a woman just leave? Why can't she just leave? And I and my professor both said, it's because you have not walked in our shoes. There's many reasons. You know, there are reasons. They need to leave. They need to get out. They need to get the help. But sometimes they don't know. It's like I didn't know back when I was being abused the first time. You know, I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what to do. You know, and this, but shows like yours, Maria, are wonderful to let people know they can leave. There's help out there, you know. And as you said as well, write. Writing's very good. I journaled for years. I know I've mentioned this to you before. I've journaled for years and years and years, and that's how I, you know, wrote my first book. And it's very important. I believe you're right to do that. You know, so.
And when we did the Women's Motivational Summit back in October, a good friend of mine, Elizabeth Zimmerman, she actually spoke about the power of journaling and what it can do for you. And if some of you are old enough to remember, back in the day, we used to have books called diaries, and they would have little locks on them. I don't even know if they still sell those. Yeah, and you always have someone that would try to break into your diary. But now you can get any type of book that you're comfortable with and write down your feelings and your thoughts on any given day to allow yourself to break free from whatever it is. Tonight, it's so much. We'll be sharing some pieces. I'll be sharing some of my pieces for my upcoming book.
Awesome. I didn't know you were writing a book. That's awesome. Yay.
Lot of people heard. I know, right? Well, yeah, now the cat's out of the bag.
I'm excited.
I want to move back before I move forward talking about any of that. It's the fact that, like you were saying, people want to know why they don't just leave.
Yeah.
One of the main reasons, too, is so many people, and this has happened to me in this last week alone, is the fact that so many women, in my opinion, until you're ready to become a survivor and to be healed, you're choosing to remain a victim.
That is correct.
In this last week alone, I've had so many women who are choosing to remain victims. And one thing about someone who's a survivor and trying to help someone who is choosing to remain to be a victim is the fact that the victim will always attack the person who's trying to help them instead of them dealing with their abuser.
That is very true.
It is so amazing
how
this happens. We're always picking on them. If you tell them things that they need to do to change or correct themselves or to prepare themselves, next thing you know, they're attacking you. Why are you being mean to me? You're picking on me. You're making me feel like I'm nothing. And I'm like, that's your personal perception. It's not me or anyone else who's making them feel that way. It's them choosing to feel that way. And they're using that as a scapegoat for their bad decision.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the badge, and they wear the badge, and everything happens because, you know, absolutely right. It's a vicious circle. They have to know. They have to want to leave and get away. They have
right.
to. Yes.
And they have to understand that what we're trying to tell them is for their own good. It's not
mm-hmm.
to pick on them or to bash them.
Right.
But it's so much easier to attack the people that they're sure won't come back on them the way that their abusers have.
Right.
For them to stand up and prepare to put on their armor and prepare for the good fight.
That's right. And a lot of times their self-esteem is so low, too. So they're lashing out at you. You know, they don't, their self-esteem is so much in the gutter, they don't know how to get themselves up there. They need to be able to get themselves up there and say, I'm going to fight. I'm going to get out. No matter what it takes, I have to get away. I have to leave. You know, yeah, you're right.
But they have to make the choice not to be that victim first.
Right. Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
But one thing that I'd like to do, and yes, people, this is one of my pieces that caused a bit of a, it incited a good conversation when.
Don't you love when you do that at school?
We were in class.
And everybody's like, oh.
This piece came from a very dark part of my life. And so many people, I never shared everything in great detail, but when you read the new book, you'll get to a deeper feeling of what I actually had gone through when I was dealing with my now ex-husband and his antics. So this one is called The Voice in the Dark, and I may read two back to back because a lot of these pieces, they have sister pieces, or they're trilogies. So
right.
This is called A Voice in the Dark. And this particular piece, just to give you guys some idea, and it was so strange because this was in my head, and when I got the, I guess you could call it, inspiration to write this, I remembered how I felt. I remembered how I felt. I remembered what the room looked like. I remembered how the moon illuminated the room. I remembered the smell. I remembered hearing him breathe. But, this is a piece from one of my darker moments. And don't get me wrong, my book is about the beginning, the middle, and the new beginning.
Right.
So it's a book of evolution. It's not mm-hmm. just dark poetry. It's an entire 48 years worth of poetry, because I once said that my life is a living poem. So... Anyway, Voices in the Dark is the title of this piece. Darkness embraced my body. Chaos invaded my mind. After it violated my soul, I waited for the evil lying next to me to loosen its grip. I stared into the night. Old Man Moon brought a dim light that illuminated the room. My eyes adjusted. As I stared at the monster, I watched it take slow, peaceful breaths. My hand caressed my silver savior. It was locked and loaded. My trigger finger toyed with it. All I had to do was pull. I introduced my knight in shining armor to the back of the demon's head. Suddenly, I heard a voice in the darkness whispering to me, "Hold on just a little longer. Your day of deliverance will soon come to thee." I fought to ignore it. My conscience urged me to obey. So I surrendered. Had I ignored the voice and allowed my will to win, my still Savior would have become my impending sin.
Wow.
Tears flowed, my body shook, and the dawn broke. The night of horror, a distant memory. The daylight brought me one step closer to freedom from the evil in my life that called me its loving wife. A year has passed, and I come home alone. No one here but my memories and me. But thanks to the voice, I am recovering, surviving, and free. And that is a poetic piece by me.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. You brought tears to my eyes. Wow. That is phenomenal. Wow.
But,
wow, thank you for sharing that. Wow.
You know, and that piece is to tell people out there, so many of us don't listen to that voice. Whether
Absolutely.
You think it's the voice of God or your conscience or a combination thereof, there are a lot of people out there, men and women, who've pulled the trigger.
Yes, yes.
But for the grace of God,
yes,
I could have done the same thing. And, you know, abusers, they get cocky and comfortable.
Uh-huh.
He knew that I had an arsenal in this house, but he was so sure that I would never use them.
Mm-hmm.
He could burst into my room, rape me, do whatever, and then fall asleep in my bed. And once he unwrap his body from around mine so that I couldn't move, he was comfortable going to sleep, invading my space.
Right. Right.
So, you know, you have to be stronger than that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have to be stronger than that.
Yeah.
So, again, you know, tonight is about talking things out and sharing some of the works. And we have listeners, but if you don't want to share tonight, then I picked a few of my favorite pieces to share with our listeners. So, you know, for people like Michelle and myself, we're used to this. We've been in this arena for a while now. I use my pieces as a venue to start the process. When I do speaking engagements, this is a way for me to break the ice with other people who've been there.
Right.
Who were contemplating it before they walked into my seminar, or who wanted it, or who have done it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to hear it from someone else. So when we speak, I have this undying adoration for people who are not just feel-good gurus who tell you what they know you want to hear.
Right.
Who walked a mile in those shoes. We've come ahead. We've paved the road to make your journey a little more smooth, because we've been there, done that.
Got the T-shirt.
You know, I've got the trophies, the T-shirts, and
the
scarf.
Yep, me too. And the scarf.
You know, to prove it.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there are times when I wonder if I'll ever be ready to trust and move on fully in my life. But right now, I'm where I need to be, because I need to get back on my feet and heal a lot more before I'm ready to move forward.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, it's a process. It's a long process. And then once you get to the point to where you are, then you start to acquire some of the tools that you need in order to keep going further and further.
Right.
You know, that's what I call them, as tools, like a golf bag. And you have the different tools in there. And then once you have a full golf bag, then you're ready to go out and start playing, you know, shooting those golf clubs, metaphorically speaking. You know, but
it's
it's a long process. It is. It really is. And you'll have ups and downs, as you know. You know. And
oh yeah.
You know, and that you've been amazing. That piece that you just read, it just touched my soul. It touched my heart, Maria. Thank you for sharing that. It really did. I didn't know. I knew you had been through things, hon. You know, I knew that you were a sister in survival. I just, wow, for you sharing that, that was awesome. I can't wait to read your book. Okay, go ahead.
Like I said, the book is going to really be enlightening and eye-opening.
Yes. Yes, and that's what I'm doing with my second book. It's enlightening, you know. It's I've persevered. I've come and I'm becoming successful. And like I said, you know, the first one was survival. This one is about my successes, where I'm going, what I'm doing, the whole different perspective of everything. So,
right.
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah.
Yay. And so am I. I can't wait, actually. But I tell you, one thing that I want you all to understand is that when you're writing about abuse and domestic violence and hurt, a lot of the pieces are very dark.
Yes.
And in some cases, they're very explicit and raw. I won't be getting into too many of those tonight, but trust me, if you're the type of person who's a little bit, you know, you don't want to hear bad words and you don't want to hear about
it. Don't read the book.
Do not read the book.
Yeah.
Do not buy the book. Do not even think about the book, because the books that we write are not for you.
Right.
You know, because if you're happy living in your world of puppy dogs and blue skies and picket fences, that's wonderful. And if you're living in denial, well, when you wake up, then maybe you can consider looking up the books. But for now, these books aren't for you.
Right. It's out there. It's real. It's fact. It's survival.
You know,
it's what it, you know, absolutely. Yes.
Right. This is the problem. We sugarcoat. And how do you sugarcoat? I was raped.
Yes, me too.
Let me not say that.
I was raped and beaten and abused, as you know.
I'm sorry.
No.
You bought that on yourself.
Oh.
It was your fault. Think back. It's all your fault. You made him rape you. You made him break your skin and make you bleed. No, it's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, people, for those of you who are listening, welcome to all of our guests in the call query and in the chat room. Okay, this little segment that we just did, people, that was being rhetorical. That was not, you know, we're being facetious, okay?
Yeah.
You never deserve to be beaten, hurt, abused, raped, molested, whatever name you want to give to it. You do not deserve that, male or female.
That's correct. And, you know, since you brought that up, it's okay. I'm going to interject for 1 second here and bring that up. In my class, I did not know the numbers as far as males, you know, males that have been abused, males that have been raped, and it's staggering. You know, we do have places for us. You know, we have RAIN and we have all these different places, which also are the rape crisis centers, places like that gear towards women and men. But there's not, you don't hear a lot that they're there for the men as well, I guess is my point I'm trying to get across. So if you have any male listeners out there, they need to know that too. If you were a little boy that was abused, if you're a man that has been through this, it's also very prevalent, I've learned, in our military. It has become so prevalent in our military. Rape of women and some men, but women, it is staggering. It is just staggering how many of them are being raped and abused as well. So,
and this show alone, I've interviewed males who've been molested, and I've heard the stories from other men who want me to tell this story because they don't want their voices to be heard. They don't want people to know that they've gone through this. I have had so many males share their stories. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. And I'm that Michelle will agree that when we put ourselves out here for this, the odd part is we hear it all. We are the ultimate sin eaters.
Mm-hmm.
We're just new age sin eaters. You'd be surprised the stories that we hear. And more surprising is how many stories are very similar.
Yes.
So a lot of these pieces don't just apply to my life.
Right.
They apply to so many people's lives. It is so, it amazes me how many stories are similar.
Yes. Yes. It's epidemic proportion in all of it, you know.
Yeah.
It's out there, and it's so epidemic. And like I said, this class that I took, I knew it was out there, but I did not realize how prevalent and all, you know, it's staggering. It blows my mind. I just can't believe it. I can't believe it. It's sad.
Yeah.
We have to speak up. We have to stand up and speak out. You know, we have to. That's my calling, I believe, and I know that's yours as well, you know. That's what we have to
and,
do. What we're
it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll share one more piece from my upcoming book. And this piece, I'll tell you all, because when you read my book, it'll be full of pretty pictures and all of that, because I'm also a photographer. But
a really good one, too. Listen, people,
why,
she's really,
you.
Really good, people. Not only can the woman write, she could take some pretty pictures.
You know, and that was my healing. That was my initial healing, was taking pictures.
Uh-huh.
That was my beginning for my healing process. But, you know, I was talking to our intern at work the other day. She was like in awe when I was telling her some of the stories of the things that I had gone through. She's,
mm-hmm.
And I put great effort into making sure that I could get what's called an instant or automatic divorce based on adultery. Because my ex got so sure of himself and cocky, he, and we'll talk about one of the women, specifically what I call the backyard whore, the neighbor who you can walk a few yards out my back, you know, down my yard, out my gate, and a few yards, you're at her mommy and daddy's house, and I can knock on the door. You know, this is a 44-plus-year-old woman still living at home with mommy and daddy, and he's a bum, so... Anyway, and all of this, of course, is in our divorce records because I think that I told him he no longer had a home in July. I was divorced December 21st of 2010. So I'm coming up on my one-year anniversary for my divorce. So I have not been divorced a full year yet. So I'm still fresh at this. And he left me penniless with nothing. And it just seems like the more I try to stand up, something else gets
right.
thrown my way. But
right.
this piece was inspired. And I'll tell you all, I told him, one of the last things I told him was that him and his BBWs, which stands for Bitties, Bitches, and Whores, were going to make me a very popular woman someday because I'm going to tell my story. So I want to thank the backyard whore for being a whore because, you know, you have to thank people to do some things that do wrong for you because they serve a purpose in your destiny. It's
That's
what
true.
You do
right.
with it that really matters.
That's right.
So, you know, this piece was inspired. Oh, so back to my book. So I always give a little synopsis of what inspired me to write the piece so that the reader will be able to follow what I'm saying with greater detail. So I'll actually read it from the book so that way
okay.
you all can get an idea. It says, this piece was inspired by correspondences shared between my neighbor and my ex-husband. They got sloppy and sure of themselves. Since we shared the same last name, she was more than willing to play his wifey.
Oh,
little did she know, she was just one She was just one of his, as he called them, marks. This woman actually believed my ex was going to make her his new wife. And the title of this piece is Whore, W-H-O-R-E, Moans, M-O-A-N-S, Hormones.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Okay.
So it starts off, "Oh, Charlie, sweep me off my feet and lay me down on this silky sheet. You love my rolls and chunks of fat. Oh, baby, I like when you tell me that. When we are in our quiet place, why don't you let..." Now, this piece, oh, if you all are underage or you don't want to hear a little bit of adult action here, you need to mute this right now, because this piece has a little bit of adult content. So just to give you all forewarning, it's not too graphic, but hey.
It's rated R, people.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
But anyway, it says, let's do, "Oh, Charlie, sweep me off my feet and lay me down on this silky sheet. You love my rolls and chunks of fat. Oh, baby, I like when you tell me that. When we are in our quiet place, why won't you let me sit on your face? Lay me down, then come real quick, but I don't care, because this is my dick. As soon as you get rid of your wife, I'll be the new number one in your life. I look out my window and stare at your house, thinking of the day when I'll be your loving spouse. Oh, baby, please pick up this call. I got a text from someone who knows it all." That would be the text I sent to her. "You say don't worry. You have it under control. Your wife is oblivious, because that's how we roll. So why have you ignored me? I need you to come and make me moan and scream. Instead, my memories of us are here to make me cream. You told me I've lost my usefulness, yet I told you I love you no less. So all of your words that made my hormones rage with fire were only the words of a sorry-ass liar. Your wife did right by getting rid of your ass. If I couldn't have you, I'm glad the marriage didn't last. Fuck you, Smitty. What you did to me was real shitty. You said you repaid all of my personal loans each time you made my dirty hormone. Call me out my name. That's all right. At least I have a home tonight. Fuck you, Smitty, and fuck your ex-wife. She messed up my chance to change you, then make you my husband and me your devoted wife. I don't care what nobody say. You would still be my man had your wife just gone away." That's
wow.
How it went down.
Wow.
I'm like, I tried to tell you.
Wow.
You know,
that is intense. Wow.
I send you a text message telling you I know who you are. I'm asking you to be a woman about it. You run back to Ben, my
to him, and tell him what's going on.
I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, no kidding. Mm.
And through the whole thing, I text her twice. Nothing, and I still have the text. Matter of fact, I made copies of them and forwarded everything to my attorney at the time. So it's all in my records. So she can't say, well, she threatened me, she did the... No, I didn't.
Yeah, no kidding.
She never, to this day, she won't say a word to me. She doesn't even come up to the mailbox to pick up the mail anymore. She used to do it all the time. So the bottom line is simple. Really?
Yeah. Really?
We have a caller calling in. Let's see. From 1086?
I don't think that's the area code.
The area code is 504-1086. Let's see who's on the line. Good evening, caller.
Good evening. This is Taylor Michael from New Orleans. How are you?
Okay. How are you?
Outstanding.
Thanks for calling us tonight. You have a comment or a piece you'd like to share with us?
I have many pieces. I guess it sounds like there's a I know the topic is says women, but sounds like there's a bunch of women on the line. So I can
either
do a piece.
We welcome men.
Well, no, my point is that I can either do a piece called Press On, which I originally was going to do, or I can do like a love poem.
Why not do both?
Very well, very well. Which do you want me to start with?
You pick. We're your audience.
You're my audience. Roger that.
Yeah, we're your audience.
Okay. I'll start with Press On.
Okay.
Because the other one's shorter. I once found myself sleeping and dreaming, and I dreamed I was a god. I dreamt I could change the world, and I dreamt all that I could do, all that I could change. I dreamt about how we avoid conflict more than visits to in-laws, and how cowardly so many of the people have been. I remember that there were people willing to exchange their integrity and quiet their voice for the illusion of peace, and yet they still called themselves men. And so I reached into their souls, showed them their barely beating hearts, and said, stand. And as I continued, I said, speak. Say all that you mean and all that you think, and if anyone tries to silence you, raise your hand. Because a defense and violence is often the thing that makes the most sense. And too many of these people keep trying to tear down this nation's fence, forgetting what they can't see. That is that this country is not ours without security. Should we melt the armies into money and throw it at our schools? What is to stop invading countries from taking for their own and making us into fools? We must never forget to fight for what we cherish and what we love, even at great cost. For to stop the stutter is to have lost. And as I watched, they all stood and shouted the words which they once thought could only be whispered. I then remembered that responsibility is misplaced more than keys or glasses have ever been, and that the majority thank God for their fortune and blame Satan for their sin. So I reached out, grabbed their hands, and whispered into their ears, these are yours and yours alone. Your name is inscribed in them through every tissue and every bone. For they are as responsible as using them as choosing not to. And when it comes to the power of the human mind, there is nearly nothing they cannot do. Too many people blame their stars and planets, television, society, drunkenness, even sobriety. Too many blame their world, their career, their parents, even their year, and I tell them, it is you. And it always was. Every word you speak is yours to support with your tongue. Every drop of hate that floods your days is yours to push through and find joy to fill your lungs. Your life is only as hard as you allow it to be, and your dreams only as impossible as you are willing to believe. The world is yours for the taking, but first you must take it. And as I watched, they began to build a world they once thought could only be imagined. I then pondered the blindness of this world and its inability to foresee. Women and men who endure the act of sex but forget what it can create. There are apparent many who are willing to risk having a child with someone they aren't even willing to date. The fiancé who thinks that marriage will be an untiable knot. The offered drug and the girls, why not? The joking words that become fists, the depressed boy who slits his wrist, and all of the regrets that cannot be taken back. And so I take time, rewind, and I tell them, remember that sex does not precede love, and for good reason. Remember that marriage is a celebration of that love and not an unbreakable agreement. Remember that you cannot solve an internal problem with an external solution. And remember that violence is a last resort. In society, suicide is humanity's very execution. For mankind has always been great because of its persistence. Its unwillingness to bend its great gift of resistance. And by far it is the most important of them all to continue to rise each time we fall. To push forward past the cynics, the disagreements, and the threats, to push on past the impossible, the unknowable, to do our best. And I remind them that Beethoven wrote symphonies we could only hear the vibrations to the ground, and that a protesting Buddhist monk in Vietnam burned himself to death without so much as a flinch or a sound. I remind them that Einstein's teachers once remarked that he was mentally slow and had foolish dreams, that Tolstoy was unable to learn, Walt Disney lacked imagination, and Thomas Edison was too stupid to learn anything. And as we watched, they did what we thought was unthinkable. They pressed on. And when I awoke, I lay there for an hour, imagining I was still a god with that limitless power. And then I remembered I am a man. I am just as capable as any god could ever be. So I rose out of bed and stood. I spoke to the people, and they listened. I fought for my liberty, and I won. I saw the right choice, and I took it, and I pressed on.
Wow. I'm speechless. Wow. That's something for me. I'm speechless. Wow, that's really, really good.
What inspired you? Where did you get your inspiration for that?
From the world, from the problems. My only aim in poetry is not to express feelings or to express simply just disdain for things. I attempt to invoke a message into people. I think that is the purpose of poetry, to invoke a change, to cause attention to problems. You know, people complain all the time about news only talks about the bad things, and people only complain about the bad things. But while one should be aware that things can always be worse, and they always can.
Yes.
I think that attention ought to be brought towards the bad things. You know, there's no use for an inspector to walk into a factory and say, well, you're doing all these things right, and you have some things wrong, but let's not talk about that. You know, and then the factory blows up and everyone dies. You know, attention must be brought to problems for there to be solutions. So.
Right.
And I think
that's the aim of what I do.
Yeah, you bring up a very good point, is that so many people are willing to, you know, what's that old adage? If it's not broke, don't fix it. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, most people look at it, let's not attempt to prevent it breaking until after it's broken.
Right. Yeah.
You know, look, two letters, BP. You know, they knew that there was an impending problem. But why fix it? It hasn't blown up yet. So,
yeah. Mm. Wow,
and
that
it's
was
amazing.
Really a good poem. That was a beautiful poem. Wow.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing.
And thank you for calling in, because we were just talking about we needed males to call in to it for their expressions as well, because.
Absolutely.
You know, most people think women, but, you know, we want to hear what men have to say. And I don't know if you were listening from the beginning, but when you go back, you'll see that we said, you know, this is not just any gender unique idea, issue, or concept. This is across the board, males and females.
Right. And you know, there's actually becoming some, a lot of, I've been, you know, looking into since I'm almost done with my degree, a lot of organizations now are geared with men towards getting the word out, too, you know, as far as abuse and sexual assault and just things that are going on, and they're taking a stand, and they're saying, we are not going to do this. We are not all of us are this way, you know, and they're trying to pave the way for other men and young boys and, you know, teaching them very young all the way up to where they won't be, get that mindset. So, yeah.
I actually didn't see that was a topic until now, until you mentioned it, the rape, abuse, and domestic violence. I would have read a different poem had I known that, but that's...
No, it just fits right in.
This is
funny. Oh, no, that's okay. That poem is a long, even a longer poem, if you can even imagine that. Or, well, not so, but it's about as long. So, and you already went to level one, so I think I'd be taking up too much airtime for you guys.
What? No, you're fine. Oh, no. This is about healing and moving forward in something positive. And to me, it's admirable when I hear men who recite their poetic expressions.
Yes.
And they don't care what anyone says. As I said, you know, your piece spoke about a lot of things that even some of my pieces touch on. It's the fact that people are out here making children with people who they don't love. They may not even know past the 20 minutes, you know, that it took to go through the motions. then they're gone. And that's what leads to all of the other issues, the abuse, because you get frustrated. You have all these children from different people. You don't know where their fathers are. And if you do, they're not involved. And you just hit on so many things in your piece, which is what makes this all mesh together. So, you know, it's great. And if you have another piece, I'd love to hear it, because that's what this is all about.
I would, too.
So you don't want the loved one? You want the other one that I was going to read?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have three? Because I want to hear your piece. So.
Oh, I have too many to read. Trust me, I have over 100. But
well, this is going to be something that I'm starting every month.
Mm-hmm.
So you know,
I wouldn't promise of being a regular just because I'm in the Navy. So sometimes
you're in the Navy. Well, thank you for everything you do.
Thank you for thanking those who do.
Yes. I've worked on military bases for the last probably 20 years, and actually my dad was military, my daughter, my son, you know, I come from a long line of military people, and thank you. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you so much. So
yes.
Most definitely. You pick what you want to tell us, and
yes.
We're all ears.
All right, well, I'll give you the choice. I'm giving you guys a choice because I picked
okay.
last time. So
okay.
I've got Love and Lyrics, which is a love poem. A Time to Kill, which is the poem that I spoke of earlier. And What Happened to Romance, which is also a love poem.
What Happened to Romance?
How did I know that was going to be the choice? All right.
What Happened to Romance? That's a good question. As I sit here single. Yeah, okay.
While most men are concerned with the shape of your body, the size of your breast and behind, I am concerned with the shape of your thoughts and the size of your heart and mind. Bang is a word I only use with loud noises and guns. But most of my peers used to describe their bedroom fun. You see, the romance is gone. The intimacy is out of the door. And I'm the only one who finds something wrong with the term making love not being used anymore. What happened to rose petals leading her up the stairs? What happened to running your fingers through her hair? What happened to breakfast in bed and candlelight dinners? What happened to ending arguments so that you could both be winners? What happened to slipping into love before slipping under the sheets? What happened to being so close you could hear each other's heartbeat? What happened to being romantic throughout the relationship and not just the start? What happened to appreciating her body and soul as the most beautiful piece of art? What happened to always being there, lending your shoulder or your ear? What happened to surprise love letters just because instead of once or twice a year? What happened to knowing when she's fishing for compliments but giving one regardless? What happened to not quitting on each other even when things get the hardest? What happened to conversations that just go on for hours? What happened to showing up for a date with one hand behind your back holding flowers? What happened to pulling out chairs, standing when she leaves the table and opening doors? What happened to being in a cold room when she doesn't have a jacket and giving her yours? What happened to romance and all of the above? If you can't bring it back for me, bring it back for love.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Two snaps
wow.
and a twist.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, what happened to romance? Dang it.
But may I ask you something?
You may
if
ask
it's not
anything.
Too personal.
Nothing
how
is too
old
personal.
Are you?
Yeah, 20. How old are you?
20.
20?
20.
Wow. Wow.
The interesting part about this is there are so many people who are twice your age and older who could learn a lot
no
from
doubt.
Your word.
That poem in particular actually is quite old. I wrote that one, I think, when I was 17.
Really?
It was more prevalent than for me to be around people, which I continue to see. But I would always have mothers say, you know, is this – because – I don't drink. I rarely drink, maybe 3 drinks like in a year, like a mimosa or something. And I don't, I've never been drunk. I've never been tipsy. The only man from New Orleans who's never been drunk. I refuse to have sex unless I'm in love. And so I'm 20 years old. I'm a virgin, about to go into special forces. So, and I'm not, I refuse to have sex in the military, definitely, because I can't be the only child that
that's
I could, I would possibly
congratulations on going in.
So I'll be 28 years old before I, it's minimum before I have sex for the first time. And that is such a, just to, the idea of that kind of self-control is just so obscure to my generation. So it's very hard to, and that's partially why I write things like that, you know. Hopefully, you know, trying to impress those who are my age of this idea of this is what it really is about. You know, it's not about the physical intimacy. In fact, there is no physical intimacy. It's just physical. You know, there is no emotional intimacy paralleling it, which is what it should be. You should get to know someone. You should say hi. You know, you hold hands, you kiss. You know, it progresses. And when you're both in love, have sex. You know, that's what it's supposed to be about. That's what the purpose of sex is. There's no way to get closer to someone than being inside of them. But people today don't. And then I have mothers ask me, oh, is this what 16 and 17 year olds are like? No, it's not. Please don't think that.
You're the exception to the rule.
Yeah, you're an anomaly.
I wish it was common. I do. I really do.
I do too. I wish it was common too.
You have restored something tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a lot of times we refer to your generation as one of the lost generation. But all it takes is that one spark.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That one voice. Yep.
It's always about the one voice. And, you know, it is so refreshing to see that you're not only one of the one voices, but you're a male.
Yes. Yes.
And that says a lot.
Yes. Yes.
So.
Wow. Very cool.
Wow.
Very, very cool. I know, like, wow. That's very cool.
And welcome to all of our guests who've just joined us in the call query. If you'd like to, if you have a question or comment for our guest, or if you have a story or a piece you'd like to share, press the number 1 on your phone, and that will let me know that you would like to be on air. But we are here with our future. Did you say you're going to be special forces? So
special forces,
that's
Navy,
what I'm
military.
For. The Navy SEALs is my
yeah,
dream.
Navy
SEALs.
Yeah, going to be a Navy SEAL.
Yeah,
so,
my grandson actually is leading in May for Army Special Forces. His daddy was in Special Forces.
Army SF or Army Rangers?
Rangers, yeah.
Ranger.
My son-in-law was a Ranger, and now my grandson's following in his footsteps, one of my grandsons. So, yeah, that's real exciting, too. Yay.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
So this has been a great show, and I'm so glad that you called in. And if you are deployed somewhere and going into special forces, you know, we're going to keep you in our prayers regardless. But I just want to take this time to pull up on what Michelle said and thank you for your service. And I know that sometimes people take you all for granted and you don't get the recognition that you deserve. But it's much appreciated. My own son is Air Force, so I know what it's like.
I think it's a double-edged sword. I think sometimes, and especially with Veterans Day having recently passed, you know, everyone wants to go get a free meal, you know, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I stayed home. I have yet to deploy. You know, I've only recently joined the Navy. I have yet to deploy. I've yet to give a great deal of my time. You know, yes, you sign a contract, but if you wanted to get out of it, you could. So I don't think I've earned a meal, let alone the thanks that I get. And I think that yes, a lot of people are taken for granted, but at the same time, a lot of people are given something they don't deserve, as it were.
Yeah. I hear you.
But you know what? But in the end, the difference is, another difference is, with you going into special forces, that's a whole nother realm. You've made the choice that most people would not make. Some people do join the military, just for that free ride and a paycheck. But when you choose to put yourself on the front line in such a way, Special Forces is no joke in any branch.
Right.
And I'm thanking you in advance. If you want to do that, look at it that way, then consider this a thank you in advance for all of your future endeavors.
Yes.
I appreciate
because, you know.
We appreciate it. You give us our freedom, you know, yourself and so many, many others. And like I said, my dad, my daughter, my son-in-law, two of my nephews have served. Three, four, my dad was in three wars. My nephews were in the Iraqi conflict. My son-in-law has been over there three times, you know, and just knowing there's people like yourself, a young person wanting to go to defend us. Thank you so much. Thank you.
And thank you again for being here tonight. So I know you said you had another piece. Are you going to give us another choice? Because, you know, I enjoy that romance piece.
If you guys want to, I'll give you one last. I don't want to take up too much of your radio time here.
I have 53 minutes left in the show. You're fine.
this one is called Love and Lyrics.
Love and Live?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Okay.
I want to play you a song. I want to hit notes that can move melodically along your soul, that can take you and I and make us one and whole. I want to knock keys that unlock your mind so I can find a way to tune into your heart. I want to write symphonies of my love that make people forget about Beethoven and Mozart. I want to confess all of my love in lyrics that you can't understand, to see if you can still grasp that my love is unconditional and grand. I want to serenade you with strings and sing all the things I love about you and still not say a word. I want the piano to pervade your armor like a well-placed arrow and make you drop that sword. I want to make you waltz without even knowing you could. I want to make you smile because of a smile so beautiful you should always should. I want the bass to find you wherever you are so you can know my heart still beats for you no matter how far. And I want my heartbeats to hold the rhythm and my breath to hold the note. And if this world were more than 75% water, my music would still hold you afloat. Because my love is greater than any song you have ever heard before. There is nothing more powerful than the ballad of Mi Amor.
Ooh.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Oh, goodness.
Oh, me, oh, my.
I'll tell you,
okay.
People our age, they could certainly learn something from this young man.
And what are you planning on doing with all of your work? Are you going to publish it eventually?
When I was younger, I started writing in high school. When I was younger, people asked me to write a book or to publish it, to do this and that. And I never had an interest in that. I never had an interest in the idea of selling my work, selling my words, that someone would have to pay to hear what I had to say. And and people, you know, said, you know, well, you know, there's ways of getting around that. And I was more interested in going into the Air Force to be a pilot than anything. So I wasn't really focused on it. But what I was focused on, and I've got like a video on YouTube, but was performing. You know, I go there and I give them my time, you know, not just my words, but they can hear me say the words. They know what I mean when I say them. And I think that sometimes you can read something and it's nothing like when you hear it. And
right.
So what my plan is now is that, you know, 10 years from now, I'll be getting out of the Navy. And then I'll probably continue to pursue medicine. And then afterwards, after I retire from that, I will retake up writing again and maybe publish a book, maybe not. I don't know. So
that's awesome.
I'm with that.
That's awesome. Yay.
And then you can also use your work. You can donate your work to nonprofits and organizations like that and your time. You can do seminars at schools with children if you really do want to do that philanthropic.
Not anymore. I don't have the time to write, let alone do that. I mean, the only reason I'm
after your military
right now.
Time.
Oh yes. Yeah.
Long term when you leave the military, and you're ready for your second or third lifetime, then that would definitely be an option, because, you know, when you can listen to this show or come back and visit, we're here on Saturday evenings, most Saturday evenings. So okay. I would love to hear more of your work. And, of course, we have listeners all over the world, so you will be heard. And you're just such a unique and dynamic individual. Trust me, I'm sure you'll be a topic of discussion around the water coolers all over the place for a while.
Yippers.
Wow.
That little baby guy.
So, you know, I understand where you're coming from, but never, ever, you know, diminish or underestimate the power that you possess. Your words are mighty.
Yes.
Appreciate that.
They speak to one's heart is what they do. You know, it spoke to my heart. They touched my soul, which your writings touched my soul and my heart. Yes. Yeah.
And that's it. I mean, if you have that type of a draw on Michelle and I.
What are you trying to say there, girl?
What the listeners must be feeling right now. And you are an exceptional young man. And do not ever sell yourself short and not embrace, you know, that talent that the divine has given
you.
And that is a talent.
Yes.
And, you know, you speak about, you know, when I was younger, and I'm sitting up here thinking, wait, he's 20.
That's so cute.
You know,
when I was younger, really?
You have so much. And if each one of your pieces is that powerful, you possess something that even I don't have. And I think that it was my great-grandmother. She used to say, when you ignore the God-given talents, you know, sometimes they'll take them away. And I did a piece not too long ago called Writer's Block when I had nothing. It was just blank. But it came back, so.
Yeah, and it does that. It'll do that. Well, you know, I'm working on my second book, and my first one just came out spilling out. I had it written in 6 weeks, and this one I'm like, well, you know, I'll go down, I'll pick it up, I'll put it back down, I'll write some more, So.
I don't necessarily agree with people who some people make it a habit to write every day, which is fine, but in the same sense, I've always looked on poetry as an expression of passion.
Right, and poetry, what we were speaking about earlier, I'm sorry, about writing every day, that's far as far as...
Oh, I didn't even hear that. I was just saying.
Oh, yeah, we were speaking about journaling, and for someone that's in pain and going through different situations. Poetry, I don't write poetry. I wish I had that gift. As far as the other writing, yes, as far as journaling or keeping a diary or something like that, But, yeah, as far as poetry, I'm sure it has to, just because it is such an emotion, you know. Powerful.
Yeah, you don't write. I mean, I do carry around a pad and paper, but sometimes I just write a word or two words. Because what happens is, eventually, if you write things that inspire you at the moment and you keep writing, when you sit down, some kind of way they'll all come together.
Right.
And you will have created something new. But to sit down and just resort to, oh, I'm going to write a brand new piece, five pieces a day. I may not have the inspiration for five pieces that day.
Right.
I may not have any or inspiration for one piece.
Right.
So, you know, I don't agree with, you know, making it a set rule etched in stone that you must do this every day, because with any artist, your work comes from something that inspired you to create it.
Yes. Absolutely.
And there are days when I'm too busy.
Yeah. Right, too busy or just doesn't, you know, just doesn't, well, like, when you know, going to school, you know, this past
yeah.
semester, this 8 weeks, I did not even touch my second book during that time, you know, because I was busy with school and this and that, and I'd say, well, I need to write, you know, no, well, you know, it has to hit me. It really has to get into
right.
my heart, yeah. Or
right.
it won't come out right. It'll just come out a bunch of words. People will be going, what the heck is that, girl? You know.
Yeah. So they say, you know, if you know anything about cooking, you can't rush a home-cooked meal from scratch. That takes
right.
time.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Everything takes time. Anything that's
yep.
good is worth the wait.
Yep. You
know.
And that's it.
Yes,
so.
I agree.
You keep writing because.
Yes, keep writing. Please
you
do.
Definitely have what it takes. And I'm going to come back and listen to the show again and listen to your pieces again. And just from speaking with you this evening, of course, now you're an inspiration for a new piece. But, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing that you called in and you have such a beautiful gift to share. That... That's just amazing.
I appreciate that.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you so much, so much.
Thank you.
Wow.
Take care. What a great guy.
Oh, my goodness. And we have another caller. Last four is 6152. And... to our Navy man, you're welcome to stay and listen to the show. And if you want to share another piece before we leave, just let me know. Is he gone? Oh,
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to welcome callers. 6152 is the last four. 6152. Welcome to Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. You are on the air.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm wonderful, wonderful. I didn't hear too much of your show, but I heard a little poetry, and I think I missed out on a few things here.
But
so, this is my first time to the show.
Welcome. Show, thank you so much for being here. Tonight is really the pilot show. I'm starting a poetry night once a month here on Healing Through Hurt. And, of course, all of the shows, give it about a minute after it ends, and you'll be able to listen to the show in its entirety in the archives. You can come back often and hear the show because they stay there until they change the policy. All of the shows will be here for an indefinite amount of time. So, but tonight is our first night. We have people calling in with positive poetry or short stories. The emphasis was on domestic violence, survival, abuse, any type of hurt that you have come through or survived from, or you want to share how you've healed from that, or anything positive. Tonight is about positive expression. So if you have some pieces you'd like to share, feel free. We are enjoying tonight. We've got some pretty good folks tonight, so...
Yeah, we do. This is just so you don't know, this isn't Maria's first talk show. This is just her first, the first one of the subjects
oh,
we're
yeah.
speaking on tonight. She's been around for quite a while on talk radio.
Almost
not,
2 years.
Yeah, almost 2 years. So I'm sorry, I just wanted to clarify.
So
that
everything is poetry, or just you just
no, just about. A story, or.
Or you can talk. It's open. It's you have something that you want to share. That's what this is about.
Right.
Okay. I guess I missed your sharing. So everyone on here went some type of, they were hurt or abused at some point?
Right.
All of the above.
Yes, all of the above, yes.
Yep.
Survivors. Survivors.
Survivors.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yep.
Well, praise God.
Yeah.
Well, that's how I got my healing. I was hurt and abused in the past, and through adultery, fornication, all of the above. Thought the grass was greener on the other side. But I was hurt. But, see, I had a time to myself, and I talked about it. I don't know if anyone, I don't want to step on anybody's toes, and I'm not sure if everybody have their own power, but mine is Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So sometimes you have to get a personal relationship with him. And I did hear a few of you talking about writing, in which I did write. I had a journal, and I wrote as well. But I had spent quality time with my higher power, in which I call him Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I went through my healing process. I read my Bible and I read scriptures, and I talked about it. And I read my Bible and I read scriptures until I got closer to God. But then I had to forgive the person and the individuals that hurt me so I can move.
That's right.
Yes. That's right.
You're right. I had to do that. I come from a long line of abuse and things like that. And Maria can tell you that. She read my book, of course. And I was I went through some very bad things, and I had to learn to forgive. And in order for me to start to get the tools in order to start healing, I had to forgive the people that hurt me as well. So,
you
yes,
have
I
to
understand.
Forgive. Don't you want to be able to move forward? If you don't,
oh, absolutely
right.
not. Yeah.
You'll get stagnated, and you'll be there, and you just continue to hurt. But
mm-hmm.
the ones that have hurt you, they're moving forward, and you still standing still.
Correct.
So you
yes.
have
right.
to learn how to forgive and forget and move
mm-hmm.
on so you can move forward. And that's what I had to do.
Right, and you can forget. You can forget, but you also want to remember to a point. I believe. I mean, not to say. And as I spoke earlier, I don't know if you heard earlier or not, but I felt I was wearing a badge, and I keep going back to that. But I did, and once I was able to get rid of that badge, I forgave. I'll never forget. You don't. You don't. It's not my identity. It's not
exactly.
who I am.
Exactly.
Right.
Right. Yeah, so.
And
yeah,
the difference is you spoke about several things, and it's so interesting that you brought this up. And Michelle will tell you, one thing about this show is that I never use a script because I always say that God will guide the show wherever it's supposed to go.
Yep.
And the last piece that I wrote that's in my upcoming book happens to be called Forgiveness.
Okay.
And when you talked about the adultery and the infidelity, I spoke about that earlier on in the book. I'm coming up on my one-year divorce anniversary on December 21st from my abuser. And he was bold enough to sleep with the neighbor right in our own backyard. And he got very bold in the end. And
wow.
he went on to marital rape and all kinds of things. And he'd always tell me that I could never go to court and tell the judge that he put his hands on me. And he didn't hit me with his hands ever. He would grab me, yes. But his vices were, he would pick up something that he knew meant something to me and throw it at me and break it. So I know what it's like. He'd call me out my name. He'd do all types of things. And these women, his disciples and his groupies, they would show up at my door, some not knowing that he had a wife at home and that this wasn't his house and his vehicles and his everything. You know, these were things that I had before we even got married. So we spoke about all of that a little bit earlier on in the show, but I've had people ask, how do How am I able to forgive? Yes, we, Michelle and I, and people who've gone through all of the things that we've gone through, we tell our stories to help the next person who's still in that storm find their way through the darkness into the light.
Exactly.
Because we have to share. Because the problem comes when so many people keep things private, and it's
exactly.
a secret, and it's undercover.
Right.
So some of us have to make that conscious decision to relive our pain to help others come through that darkness. And it's different when you hear it from someone who's been there, done that, as opposed to what I spoke about earlier, those infamous feel-good gurus. You go to these places and you pay all this money, and these people stand up on a stage and they tell you what they know you want to hear. Whereas we tell it to you just like it is. It's real. It happened to us. And we can't sugarcoat it.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's no sugarcoating about it.
No.
That's for sure. Mm-mm.
No.
No, ma'am.
So,
there's not.
You know, and okay. I've done plenty of shows where I told people, you know, but for the grace of God. And if you get a chance to listen to the beginning of the show, the very first piece that I did was called The Voice in the Dark.
Yeah.
And it was about the night after my ex had burst into my room, had come into my home and burst into my room, and he raped me. And it talked about how bold he had become, where he knew that I had weapons in the house, but after he would do his dirty deeds, he'd roll over and go to sleep and not even think that I would take out a weapon and blow a hole right in the back of his head. So one of my pieces was about one of the nights when he had violated me and how close I had come to making the wrong decision. But for the grace of God and a voice in the dark, I didn't pull the trigger.
Thank God. Yeah.
But,
thank God.
You know,
it
is
about...
Piece.
Very powerful. It was a very powerful piece, Maria. Very powerful. Yes.
So,
and I think those of us that have been through that, been through the rapes and abuse, I think what you wrote in your poem, in your piece, I think that was what we all have thought about. You know, whether we had something next to us or not, but you brought out what a lot of us survivors, I believe, at the time. You know, because I thought about that. I never had that. You know, I didn't have a weapon next to me. But you know what I mean? At that time, if I would have, I don't know what I would have done as well. So
well,
you brought out something.
I went through the same experience. I mean, I was hurt, and I did use my weapon. So, but I knew I had to remove myself. I didn't stay there. I couldn't keep myself in that surrounding and that environment. I had to remove myself, so I didn't even think about it. And it was, I went to a rage. I did use my weapon. So I thank God that no one got hurt, but when you hurt, you go into a rage. If somebody hurts you like that, you really don't have time to think about anything, and that's me.
Right.
So I did use my weapon.
Right.
I'm sorry you had to go through that. I'm sorry you had to.
But,
I'm glad you're a survivor, thank God. But I'm sorry you had to go through that.
Yeah, but, I mean, I went through a lot. I share my story to young women. I just don't openly share, but, you know, when you're sitting around and people talk and women are hurting, everybody don't talk about it like you know. But, I mean, I share my story openly. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like you said, you have to share to help other people, other women.
Right.
You know, so.
Right.
And
we also, I'm sorry, go ahead, Marie.
No, go ahead.
Oh, well, we not only survive, but we get to the point, and we need to get to the point to where we are resilient and we can live again. And I, like I said, it's not our identity. Or, you know, I'm studying psychology. I'm going to be finished with that next semester or in a couple of semesters, and I'm getting my master's degree in crisis counseling. And I've written a book. I'm getting ready to write my second book. And I want to let people know. I want them to know, Sivar, but I also don't want to be – they need to know, too, that there is – they can become resilient. They can live their life. They can love. They can be happy. They can – you know, it can, it's a process, like Maria and I both say. Maria has said many times, it is a process. But we can get from one side to the other side, you know, and live again and learn to live again. You know, I'm very blessed in my life. I have an abundance of successes and blessings in my life, but I also have a lot of traumas, tribulations, trials. Huh, Maria?
Right.
That's what keeps you strong. That's what keeps you strong, going through all your trials and tribulation and your experience. That's what keeps you strong, and that way you can help others. But that's where your strength is coming from, all that you've gone through. And by you going through it, you can sincerely share and help someone else.
Right.
And sometimes it's not good when we go through it, but when we overcome it, it comes out being good as well, because it makes you a stronger woman.
Oh, absolutely. And I can say, look at me then and look at me now. You know, I mean, the very one of the sentences in my book, my first book, was I'm no longer that little four-year-old girl lying in bed, afraid anymore. This is where I was. This is where I am now. And even since then, I've come farther, you know. And it does. You just have to acquire the tools. And my way, you're right, my way is reaching out. That's what I do. That's my purpose, I think, you know. And Maria's too, huh, girl?
Right. So it's just... It is. It's a one foot in front of the other process.
Yep.
You just have to keep walking forward and not allowing yourself. Now, sometimes we'll have setbacks. It may seem like we're standing still, but as long as we keep vigilant and resilient about moving forward, we'll be okay. But, you know, as much as you would like to share, if you wanted to, tell us a little bit about what you went through. That's what this show is all about. You know, almost 2 years ago when I first started Healing Through Hurt, I created it because of the pain that I was going through. Here I am, you know, a 45 or so year old woman. I'm successful. You know, I'm educated, the whole nine yards. And then I married the wrong person. And my whole world is destroyed.
Right.
In a matter of months, you know, this person came into my life and totally changed from the person who I dated, who I fell in love with. After the I do's, I had a stranger in my house, and that stranger turned into a monster. And in the end, he didn't have any problems telling me, because he thought that he was in total control. So he didn't have any problems telling me about his sexcapades and why he did what he did. And you know, the infamous, I do love you, but there's a lot of old, desperate women out here. Their biological time clocks have fallen off the wall and gotten thrown out in the trash, and he can get what he wants from them, and he knows what women want to hear. And he says there was one woman in his life who told him that his words sounded like a script. And in the same breath, and no, when we met, when we dated, the whole nine yards, everything that he did with all these other women, he never did with me. It was like, I'm looking at a totally different person. And I'm like, well, what happened? And he said, most women out there are fake. They try to be something that they're not. He said, I was real. I supported him. But he said the bottom line was the temptation was too great. Why be a decent man and have a house and have to work hard when he can go out there and BS all these other women and get them to take care of him? It was easy.
Yeah.
And as far as the neighbor right out here in our own backyard, she was easy. She threw herself at him, allegedly. And he said, why not? She gave him things. She took care of him. Why? Why would he need to work and be a good person when he could have all these different women who would let him lay up with him. And he said, you know, he went on all these Christian, so-called Christian dating sites and all these women, and a lot of them were older women. And it was what it was, but I knew that I wasn't going to stay in that. And once you break the vows of marriage, you know, based on adultery, true blue, mm-hmm. straight up adultery, it's a different ball game.
There's no going back. No.
No. No.
Do, yeah, my ex-husband. Do y'all go out, socialize, and have fun? Do you do anything special?
Now?
Yes.
Yeah, I have a, I do have, I socialize when I can. As far as me dating, I'm not ready for that.
Not dating, I don't date either. But just no. out, having fun.
As far as me right now, I'm sorry.
Not fun, but, you know, just going out around, I don't know if you have a circle of women that you can trust and you can talk. Go out and have dinner, eat. If you
I
feel
do.
Like doing a little dancing, dance.
Yeah.
As far as
I
me,
have to
I really don't right now. I'm going to school full time plus writing my book, and I moved out here by close to my oldest daughter, and I don't get out and socialize as much as I should, and I know I could, and this has been kind of a respite for me the last couple of years since my last relationship, which ended pretty bad. So once I get done with school, then I plan to actually move, and I'll get back into more of the, you know, getting out and doing a lot of stuff. But not right now, I don't know from work. You know, the people that I worked with around here, all they wanted to do is go to casinos and all that stuff, and I'm not into that stuff. So once I moved, since I moved to New Mexico, I'm pretty much just kind of, you know, not, I hang out with my daughter and stuff like that, you know. But,
okay.
You know.
But I do.
That helps me out too.
And I have a meetup group called WOW, and it's the Women of Wisdom and Worth, and we're about 80 strong. And we do have activities that we do. We just had cooked together, and it was supposed to be jewelry making, but we got there a little bit late. So we did, I bought the nail polish, so we had girls' night, and we painted each other's nails. And we talked, and it's a support and motivation group. So we do have activities that we do there. And, like, I'm still pretty much new to the divorce thing, and he left me penniless, and then the economy fell apart, and I lost my job. So I'm still, you know,
rebuilding. And I associate a lot with my friends on Facebook, people I've known for years and years, you know, and people like that, and people I talk to on the phone. You know, it's not like I just sit here alone in the dark or something. I don't do that.
Because once you go back to sitting in the dark that much, it will consume you.
Yep, it will.
And the demons will be resurrected again. And you know, to a degree, you have to keep active and doing something to make sure that we stay motivated to keep moving forward in a positive way.
Right. Absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
Yep.
Mm. Pretty crazy.
But it is. Oh, we have another caller coming on. Wait, do we? Yes, we do.
Okay.
Hold on a moment. Ladies,
okay.
Well, we have caller 7986. 7986. Hold on a moment. I'm trying to bring you on. I don't know why it's not letting me. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
How are you?
How are you? I'm okay.
I'm good.
The reason why I recently tuned into the show is because I guess it's supposed to be open mic, at least according to the thing. Are you guys still having it or no?
Yeah.
Okay. So can I do a poll?
You certainly can.
Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt your conversation, though.
No, not. Not at all.
That's fine.
Okay. I guess I'll do one that's called Insecurity Guard.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
It goes, lights are flashing, red alert, Red alert. You know what? My ears hurt by this annoyingly loud alarm sounds. Triggered by who, what, where, when, why, and how. What is it now? The alarm continues to shriek. This has got to be like the third time this week. This system is super sensitive. It could be set off by the slightest creak. I'm scanning through the monitor trying to see if the camera's picked up something. Is there a real threat, or is it just upset for nothing? The system has been known to go off with no apparent reason. It doesn't matter the time of the day, the time of the month, or the time of the season. I remember one winter I was stuck in the cold, freezing, shaking, shivering, wheezing. I was having trouble breathing. I couldn't believe it. The system had just locked me out. I tried to enter my code, but it completely blocked me out. The things that go on don't make any sense. The alarm still gets triggered by past events. I was talking to the janitor about it one day. He was telling me how the system wasn't always this way. I asked him what happened, and this is what he had to say. It all goes back to the days before you were hired. The men who had the position before you wasn't doing what was required. They did great damage to the system before they finally got fired. These guys were liars, let the system neglect and unprotected right, do whatever they desired. Especially this one guy in particular, he really abused the job. The very thing he's supposed to help to secure, he contributed to it getting robbed. This guy confused and misconstrued the entire mainframe, left the system humiliated. And the others also must have been affiliated because they also did the same thing. There's a huge void that destroyed the entire defense. Ever since then, even the new men, something hasn't been the same since. Due to the previous harm, it's darn near impossible to disarm. Anything causes the panic is on automatic false alarm. So now you have to pay close attention, act with precision and care. Despite all the repairs, some of the damage is still there. It's just something you have to deal with, even though I know it isn't fair. You see, the system isn't just state of art. It's the female's heart. And the previous men were the ones who tore it apart, leaving me to tend to it as being abused, misused, marred, and emotionally scarred. Man, it's hard being an insecurity guard. That's it.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. The way that you put that metaphor together was just outstanding.
Yes.
Thank you.
Very outstanding.
And
yeah, I didn't even introduce myself. I'm sorry. I just saw out of protocol. My name is Lloyd Pearson.
Hi.
Where are you from?
I am originally from Cleveland, Ohio, but right now I'm calling from Jackson, Tennessee.
Oh, Tennessee?
You in the military?
Oh. No.
Oh, okay.
I just travel a lot.
Just a traveler. I'm Michelle. It's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
And I am Maria, of course.
Of course.
I am the host. I'm feeling through her talk radio. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. And
no problem.
May I ask you, what inspired you to write that piece?
Well, at the time, I was in a relationship at the time where it was some insecurity issues that had arisen. And what it made me kind of think about was some of the insecurity situations that had been in past relationships, or even relationships that I had witnessed. And usually it's the story of, the story of the person who's having security issues is somebody made them that way. And the story of someone who's dealing with the person with security issues is just like, this is a pain in the butt because I didn't do this, but yet I'm left. So, what I like about it, I like about the result is that it kind of told the story without placing the blame on either which way. It was just telling the frustration of both sides without making a blend, because normally when you watch, even when you talk about movies or whatever, they're always, making one party out to be the bad guy. That's the only thing. That's the thing I don't like about Tyler Perry stuff a lot of times. It's not so much that, I understand it's entertainment. I understand that, I don't mind him being successful or anything like that, but I don't like the fact that, a lot of stuff is kind of like making guys be the villain, like that one movie with For the Colored Girls. It's just like, man, everybody's problem had to do with a man. It's just like, you can't sit there and make it seem like, men are a reason for all women's problems, or even vice versa. We're all going through all kinds of struggles, and sometimes in the midst of that, also it's relationships and problems. But the thing about it, if you're in a position, either or, if you're a man and women are what's making up all your problems, then you need to do something with yourself, and vice versa,
Right.
All your issues should not center around your relationship with the opposite gender.
Correct. Right.
So that's kind of, where I was with that. I like to respond to social issues with more of a way of putting things in perspective. So that was one of the ones where I did that. And, the concept just came to me, and I was very happy that it came out just the way I had envisioned it in my head. That's one of those pieces. I don't know, if you guys write or something. That's one of those ones where I was instantly proud of when I wrote it. I was like, yeah, this is hot. Sometimes you have things that you come up with that you're like, yeah, this is hot.
Maria writes poetry. I've written a book, and I'm writing my second book, and she's getting ready to write a book. Yay! But I'm excited. Sorry, what can I say? But so she writes poetry. I've never written poetry. So.
Is it okay if I do one more?
Sure.
Is there time?
We have 13 minutes, so you've got plenty of time.
This one is much shorter than that one.
Okay.
Well, this is one of my first ones. It's called Love's Been Framed.
Okay.
I'm sorry, what is it called?
Love's Been Framed.
Okay, Love's Been Framed. Okay.
Yeah. It never hurts anyone. It's the lack thereof that causes all the pain. People think they find it, but are mistaken. So, it receives all the blame. They don't even know what it looks like, but they search frantically. Some people think they find it emotionally, some physically, others romantically. It wants you as bad as you want it, but you pass it up to chase the dreams. Then you get mad and hate it after you discover that what you found isn't what it seems. It never mistreated you. So why do you resent it? Because someone used his identity when they said things and never meant it. So now it's the suspect, and it's up for trial. The jury proclaims it guilty when it's been innocent all the while. You see, the perpetrator was skillful and cunning when they planted the evidence, and no one's there to witness for it. So it has no defense. So it's locked away in prison, no letters, no phone calls, no money on the books. It desires to be with you, not entrapped with all the crooks. This is no place for it, but this is where it will remain to be. Continue to learn the truth about it and decide to set it free. Love's been framed. That's it.
That's very cool.
Now I'm just sitting. I'm like, okay, go ahead. Keep talking.
Very good.
It's so interesting that we've had two who appear to be young men calling in this evening.
Yes.
And, I need to ask you, too, if you want to share. Now, how old are you? Because we're trying to figure out if you're both representing the same generation.
Well, I'm 29. I wrote that poem.
Okay.
I wrote that poem about 4 years ago. I wrote both poems about 4 years ago.
Okay, the first gentleman was 20, so yeah, they're not the same.
They're still in their 20s, though. So.
Right.
Well, I'm knocking on 30's door, but yeah.
Wow, well, you're still a baby.
Yes,
yeah.
That, yeah.
Compared to us.
Well, to you.
Huh?
I said, well, to you. It's easy for the ones who are much older to sit back and look at. I know, I think it's a little big deal when you turn 30 as well. But, you know, looking back, it's like, oh, that's nothing. You know, I've been there, done that. Oh, you're a baby.
I got kids older than you, honey. I've got grandkids that are young. So.
Well, I understand.
It's, but it is so refreshing to hear young men
expressing
themselves. This has been a really great show. And this is like the pilot show, because I'm actually going to bring this on as a regular program starting in 2012. So starting in January.
You'll still have your, excuse me, you still have your regular talk show, and then you'll be bringing this like once a month or so. Is that correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. This will be coming on once a month. It's one of my featured shows starting in January. So I haven't decided which Saturday evening I'll be doing it, but once I figure it out, it'll probably be the fourth Saturday of the month. That way I can get all of my featured poets together, and that way probably have a whole list already in the call query instead of waiting for call-ins. But you have a way with words and putting things together.
Yes.
That you know, and that's what I love about poetry, is the fact that I love to hear individual styles and how they put things together. Because you've done something that, again, I don't think I would have been able to sit down and think of that. And
I would
love to hear, you know, where people get their inspiration from and what they come up with. It's just amazing to me. And I could sit and listen to you, just like the other young man that was on earlier this evening. I could come somewhere and hear you two perform.
Right.
And be content just listening. And I don't know what your plans are for your work, but I would encourage you to keep sharing it in whatever means you are comfortable with. But
you have a talent,
and keep sharing it. And I'd love for you to come back here to Healing Through Hurt and share some more. Whenever you find the time.
Yeah, I'm definitely, I'm definitely into doing it. I mean, it's just, I noticed, like, my poetry is different than a lot of the poetry that's kind of a lot more mainstream, where it's like the spoken word, where they, you know, they do a lot of fancy, you know, what I call fancy configuration of words, but they don't really say anything. And, like, you know, like, as far as, like, the Lust and Frame, that was inspired from hearing a bunch of, or reading a lot of people's love poems or heartbreak poems or things where it's in there, you know, dog and love, you know, all love, this and this and that. You know, my whole standpoint was just, like, you know, love didn't do this to you, the person you fell in love with. You know, and you know, technically you have some responsibility in that. Stop blaming it on the thing because you had a bad experience with it, you know.
Right, absolutely. Yeah.
But,
well,
you know,
again,
just,
those are the people that
also,
to be the victims.
Right,
it's always someone else's fault. They never take responsibility for anything.
I talk to people about being the victim instead of, you know, being the victor instead of the victim, being the overcomer instead of the overcome. You know, like, I'm, you know, just like I write about it, I also like to have discussions about it. So it's cool that I notice you guys have discussions, so I'll try to call in. I know I just happened to call in. It was just like, you know, I feel like, you know, calling to a blog talk show, and then I happen to find yours on the list. Like, yeah, I do poetry. I'll call in.
Yep.
Awesome. Great. We're glad to have you.
And you're exactly what I'm looking for for the show.
So I click follow. So hopefully I'll know the next time that you guys
do
it. And, you know, I'll be available wherever. But, yeah, I mean, like, poetry is just, like I don't really consider myself a poet because I write poetry just for the purpose of communicating a point. It's, to me, it's more about the communication than it is about the art. And you know, like a
right,
lot
right.
of people, you know, like a lot of people had an issue with me because when I first started writing poems, you know, I would make it clear that, you know, I'm not really a writer. I write this, you know, just because this is, you know, I don't look at poetry as being my gift. I look at communication being my gift. And I just, that was just one of the ways in which I was doing it. And some people that feel like they've been writing for years feel like, you know, I was disrespecting the craft. And, you know,
no.
one thing about it is just like nothing should be put on a pedestal such as that,
right.
you know. You know, I respect art, but, you know, also I like things that have purpose.
Right,
you know,
right.
Creativity is cool, but, you know, at a certain point, you know, what is it edifying if you're just being creative, you know? I mean, yeah,
right.
Some people feel like creativity shouldn't have limits, and I can understand that. But the thing, though, I feel like creativity becomes more useful once you start to place limits, you know, because it requires you to, I think it requires more creativity once limits are set as opposed to when you just can do anything. Because, I mean, there's nothing
right.
out there that you just could do anything, you know, even if you play like a game, you know, you got to learn how to be creative within those limits of that game. You got to learn how to be creative within the limits of, you know, life or, you know, court, you know, you're a lawyer, you got to be creative within that. You know, everything requires, you know, some type of limitations, and learning how to use your creativity within that makes it a lot more useful.
Right.
Well we're down.
I would have called in earlier. I guess we could have rapped better.
Well, you'll know the next time because we have about a little more than 3 minutes left, and I have one more piece to go. And, of course, I have to let everyone know Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio is sponsored by the Wall Foundation, Inc., which is a 501c3 community-based nonprofit. If you'd like to reach us, 202-618-2556 or contact at thewallfoundationinc.org. And, of course, you can follow us on Facebook. We are Healing Through Hurt iTalk Radio, sponsored by the Wall Foundation, Inc. Or if you are member of the Twitter Nation. Of course, we're Wall_Foundation. And I want to leave you guys with a piece that I wrote called Forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of the hardest things to do. I'll never forget the hurt created by you. You knew what you were doing. Please don't try to deny. I saw the delight in your eye as you stood there and watched me cry. At the time, you didn't care that you left me broken and in despair. Now you want forgiveness, and why should I care? You call me out my name and laugh in my face. Now you are the one in that vulnerable place. So tell me, what do you think I should do? Follow your lead or give in to your pathetic plea? The
wow.
mental scars you left me, you cannot erase. How pitiful you look with tears running down your face. How does it feel? When the tables are turned, you play with fire. Now you're the one burnt. Oh, well, I guess there's one thing. There's only one thing I should do. Just three simple words. I forgive you. So with that said, you know, our last caller, she hung up, but she was speaking about forgiveness, and I left this piece by design, and we only have a little more than a minute left in the show, but I want to thank you so much for calling in, and hopefully you'll be on. We come on at 9 p.m. Eastern time, so hopefully you'll be able to join us, but until next time, we have to go. I am your host, Maria Wall, and I'll see you all here tomorrow morning for a Sunday morning meditation, but we
Thank
will be back
for having
here
me.
Next Saturday for another segment of Healing Through Hurt iTalk Radio. Until then, you be blessed. Have a great, great evening. Thanks so much, everyone, for joining us, and hope to see you again soon.
Oh, well, I'll think about it.
Yeah, okay. I'm like, yeah, okay, she's so wrong.
That was fun.
But thank you so much to our caller. I loved it. Great show. I look forward to visiting us next time. And call in early so we can hear some more of your work.
Yeah, that's not a problem. Like I said, now that I know that, you know, that it exists, I can know to look out for it.
Well, actually, you know what?
What?
If you are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. Because we're actually into the after show now. So if you'd like to end with one more of your pieces, when people listen to the archive, they'll be able to hear.
Okay, that sounds good. Let's see here. I have one that may be a little controversial. I don't know. You know what? I'm going to do something different. This is called Deep. Deep is.
Okay.
Deep is a concept, a word, a phrase that stimulates a change in the ways you view your life, your nights, your days. Sometimes even your mind days in the haze because you're simply amazed, distraught. A revelation causes an elevation of thought. Since you hear what they didn't say, you learn what you weren't taught. Ideas that weren't thrown but somehow were caught. Where you receive more than what was brought, and you walk out with more than what was bought, paying a little but getting a lot. When the words have meanings beyond the definitions, resulting in premonitions, daydreams, and visions, ideas colliding in your mind, giving a whole new meaning to head-on collisions, where the line has over-accomplished its mission, bringing about a full recovery of what was in critical condition. When the lyrical manifests the spiritual and the physical, causing mental miracles, resulting in a dropping of jaws and a psychological applause that's hysterical. And all you can say is, that's deep. That's it.
Wow. Once again, you know, I'm still sitting here waiting. I'm like, okay, you keep, you could talk to me all night, but... You know, I may just have to do another poetry show next week. I'll have to think on that. But you'll know well in advance. So
Okay. You'll
be sure to get in early so that we can hear some more of your work. Thank you so much for joining me here this evening. And
no problem.
Wow. You have really helped to make this pilot show a great success, and I look forward to speaking with you some more, and including, you know, poetry and this show itself is about, you know, we're going to have some controversial topics, so people will just have to understand that, and as long as it's not something that's, you know, terribly, you know, hate-driven and way out there.
I don't do hate-driven, but also, you know, sometimes you don't know the rules. So everyone has different rules about their shows and the way they do things.
I always tell people,
just trying
you know,
to be
let
mindful
me know.
Of that.
You know, this is like a mature show, so I tell people it's about to be something controversial or adult language and things. I let them know before the piece even starts. So.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
I mean,
beyond
that,
that,
I know that I could, because I have one that is not really... Like, it has some adult language, like maybe one or two words, but it's for the purpose of driving a point, not just in there.
Right.
And, you know, but I know that, you know, some people just, when they hear the words themselves, they just, oh, my, you know. So you never
know,
you know, what your audience is.
You'd have to go back and hear the whole show, because we told people that this show is about real people, real stories, real hurt, real healing. Real raw. So if they're living in denial or they're in the puppy dog world, then, you know, our books or this show isn't for them. But if they want to hear the real deal, then that's what this is about. And that's the beauty of me being the boss.
So, because the title of it is called "If I Call a Rose Nigger."
Oh, okay.
So, you know,
that'll be interesting.
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, have their different emotions about that, but like a lot of my poems are responsive to social issues.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like a lot of times, like I'll see someone, people have a debate on something, mm-hmm. and I'll sum it up in a poem and just, you know, that's just, I don't know how I tend to operate sometimes. I mean, it's rather short. I don't know if you guys still want to hear it. I didn't know the...
Well, everyone's gone now but you and me, because this is like the after show. So what I would do is save it for when you call back.
Okay.
Because we may have people that want to ask you questions about it. And right now, since this isn't live right now, they'll hear it when they do. We're live, but they'll hear it when they do the archive. We're not on the air right now. So next time that you come on, that'll be one of the pieces. Or you can email it to me so that, you know, I can let you know if it's going to be, you know, if I feel as though it would be great for the show or a little bit too controversial. So that way we'll be sure. So either way, whatever works for you.
I guess one of the ways to make it easier, like you see what my name is in the chat room?
No, I don't see you in the chat room.
Really?
Are you in the chat room?
Yeah. I'm Lloyd Pearson the fourth. So far, it looks like I'm the only person in the chat room.
No, I don't see you. I don't see, you know what, this chat room has been acting up. I see a guest. I don't see anybody but the same guest that's been sitting here.
Okay. Could I even left a message in here?
Mm-mm. I don't see any of that. None of it. I see none of that.
I was going to say, you can add me on Facebook, and I have the poem as one of my notes.
Okay.
And,
but on Facebook, you can either find me under Maria Wall or, of course, Healing Through Hurt. I talk
Maria
radio
Wall.
There. Uh-huh. And what's my
Maria
picture on Facebook right now? I think it says,
Wall.
I don't know what it is. Oh, yeah, the Wall Foundation. You'll see the W and the logo for the foundation. So that's me on Facebook. And then you can also like Healing Through Hurt there. And that's another place where Maria. Wall. Oh, you know what? You may not be able to find me. I may have to look for you. I'll look for you. Hold on. Spell your name. L, one L or two?
L, two L's.
Your full name on here?
Yeah, it's Lloyd Pearson the fourth. That's LLOYD. No space. Pearson, PEA. LSON. Space. I. And V is in Victor. So Lloyd Pearson the fourth.
Still not. Lord Pitt and Jackson?
Yep.
Okay.
That would be me.
Okay. Hold on. I'll send you a friend request.
And I'll accept it.
All righty. Cool. Now, I'll be sure to keep you, we'll keep in touch and get together some of your pieces. So next time we get together, you'll have a few more to share with us.
Okay. Yeah, I have a lot of them. It's pretty much, I've written quite a few.
And we're ready to hear them, that's for sure. But let's see. Oh, wait, where's my studio? Okay, but thanks for joining. It's been great talking to you this evening. And
the same.
I look forward to, well, now we can keep in touch on Facebook, but
yep.
It has been a pleasure. And I'll be talking to you again soon.
Okay.
Thank you so much for joining me here this evening, and you have a great remainder of your weekend and a wonderful, beautiful, blessed work week.
And you too.
Good night.
Good night.
And to all of our listeners, as always, this is Maria Wall. This has been a little bit of an after show, but as always, I pray you enough sunshine to brighten your rainy days, enough smiles to turn your frown upside down. But most of all, I pray you enough strength and courage to face whatever may be coming your way this week and beyond. Thanks for joining me here this evening. I am Maria Wall, and I will see you all back here again real soon.
Oh, pretty baby, since you left me, I have been feeling oh so blue. I always thought that you would love me. I don't know what I should do. Do do ba ba da do da do do ba ba da do 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 ba ba da do da. I don't know what I should do. I always thought that you would love me. I always